So hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host Shanae, and today I am here with Bethany and Dudley. Dudley, you ditched us last week, but here we are. So I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but there's been a lot that's been happening in the last week in terms of smuggling and tragedy. So as you know, last week we talked about the spill in Exuma, where during a refueling effort for BPL, Sun Oil Limited accidentally dumped over 30,000 gallons of oil into the surrounding coastal area. And apparently this oil was being carried by a 400-foot hose, and it broke, and that caused the oil spill. So far about 95% of the fuel has been removed. However, the beach will remain closed until another assessment can be conducted, which will happen in August 10th, according to the director of the Department of Environmental Protection and Planning, Dr. Rihanna Neely Murphy. She also said that once the investigation is complete, that their advice will be to pursue damages. We also talked about that last week. And they said that they are looking to charge those who are involved with fines, and they were also responsible financially for the cleanup efforts of the oil. So I guess we got what we asked for. I don't know if any of you guys have anything to say regarding the oil spill, but it seems as though the government is doing their due diligence in holding these people accountable, at least hopefully. Only time will tell if they actually follow through, but I think they will.
Yeah, so like you already said, we had this conversation, especially in regards to who was covering the cause. And I'm glad to see that they're taking the necessary legal steps to kind of assuage this situation. However, I hope they go hard on these people, because if I recall correctly, this was, I think, it was an illegal, it had something to do with an illegal, whether they were, they weren't supposed to be doing it. I saw illegal, and I was like, well, we can't have foreigners or even Bahamians thinking that they could just do whatever they want to do, however they want to do it. Like, they need to put the hammer down hard, find these people very hard. I know when I was reading one of the news articles, the lady who you were talking about earlier, she said that they were taking the legal steps and trying to, you know, do all of that. And I'm just like, miss, I feel like our law should have already been set up for y'all to just start taking action now, because you know how it is in especially in news and media. Sometimes some stories get lost in the sauce, and I am hoping that this isn't one of them.
Yeah, I hope the same, because I feel as though environmental issues are extremely important, especially now with global warming and climate change and how the world is changing so rapidly as a result of our carbon emissions, I guess. The icebergs are melting, which can lead to the sea level rising, especially in the Bahamas, because we're not that much, at least New Providence isn't that much above seawater. I don't remember the exact number. But these type of stuff affect us. It affects our marine life, our marine resources, our fisheries, and seafood and stuff like that. So it's definitely a direct effect, and our tourism industry as well. So I feel like we really need to take this seriously. And I hope that they do actually pursue for damages, so that they send a clear message that, hey, regardless of it, if it was an accident or not, you damaged something and you're gonna have to fix that, you know. So like you said, Bethany, I hope it doesn't get lost in the sauce, and I hope that this is something that we get regular reports on as time goes on. So with that being said, I don't know if you guys saw, but 17 people died when a boat capsized off of Blackbird Key, and this included 15 women, one man and a child. 25 people were rescued, and it's believed that 50 to 60 people were aboard the vessel. And it is said that the boat capsized due to rough weather. And this tragedy is dubbed as the worst migrant boating accident within the last 3 years. So apparently the boat was heading to Miami to take these migrants there, you know, with smuggling operation. And apparently the youngest aboard was a little girl who was believed to be in her toddler years, between like 1 to 5, I think the article said. And 2 Bahamian men were arrested in regards to this matter. And the people who were rescued, the 25 people who were still alive, said that they paid anywhere between $3,000 to $8,000 to get to Miami. So, of course, this is a great breach of national security, not only for us, but to the U.S. And it also could, I don't know if it would damage our relationship with them, but it still looks kind of bad on our part that we are allowing some of our citizens to smuggle other immigrants, or I don't know if all of them are citizens of the Bahamas. I don't know if some of them were illegal or not, or have residency, work permit, whatever it is. But it kind of looks bad on us that we're 2 Bahamian men, we're smuggling these immigrants to another country illegally. So Minister Keith Bell gave his condolences to the families, but also urged people not to make these unsafe voyages. And he said that those who were found smuggling individuals in and out of the country will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. So I don't know if y'all have anything to say on that, but I thought it was very sad because these people die. I understand that, you know, you're only trying to get a better life or whatever, but these voyages can be very, very rigorous and dangerous. And who's to say the people who were the captain and the co-captain, or the people who were smuggling them and knew what they were doing? Because I feel like you're basically putting your life in these people's hands. So you have to be very careful of like who you trust. So it's very sad, and I wish their families my condolences.
Well, in regards to our relationship with the U.S., I feel like the U.S., they're so used to people smuggling, trying to get to their land. I don't think it'll really be like something they look down at us for, because it's not like the Bahamian people, the Bahamian government sent these people here. You can't control every person in your country. Some are going to slip up, but then it's up to us when we find these people doing these kinds of criminal acts to enforce our laws harshly. And I'm pretty sure I read that the Prime Minister said that they will be extending the full length of the law whenever the case is closed, when they find out who's the perpetrators and what's not. Because I don't think the 2 Bahamians, I think it's alleged that they may have been the people in charge, but I heard that they're assisting the police in the case. And that's as far as I heard about their involvement in the smuggling process. But it also should, you know, kind of prohibit people from trying to make these voyages, because number one, it's dangerous. And I mean, is life in the Bahamas so bad from the life in Haiti that you need to move from one place to the other? Because a lot of times, yes, I get that Haitians want to come to the Bahamas, but when you know that these trips are as dangerous as they are, is it so bad here? Like, I don't understand that, but it is what it is. And like you said, condolences to the families, because regardless of their nationality, these people are still human beings and they still have families somewhere. Their families may not even know what happened, you know? They don't know who's alive from who's dead. So you have to think about those aspects of the situation as well. But it's really a tough situation to have to discuss, because there's so many different views on actions like this that, you know, it's so touchy. It's very touchy. But I don't agree with people breaking any laws anywhere So in that regard, for those people who got reprimanded and taken to wherever they were taken to, yes, they should face whatever repercussions come from what they were doing because it was illegal. But I hope this is a sign, just a stop so other people could realize that, hey, I don't know if my life is worth, taking this voyage or just going through the proper channels and doing the right thing here, so they could just take a airplane flight over there. I don't know. But safety first, people. Safety first.
Man, I mean, it's always such a crazy topic when you have people doing the whole illegal migration thing. Because my thing is, it's always been dangerous. Like, I remember from social studies times, way back in grade 8 and grade 9, my social studies teacher was explaining to us how dangerous this is and that a lot of people die. You might not hear about it, but a lot more people die trying to get here. Forget trying to get to the States. A lot more people try die in the trip here than survive. And then if they get caught, they get sent back. They get sent back more than likely, and they gotta start over. So people, I mean, they're aware of the risks, but when you live in a country where things aren't good, and things look so much better on the other side. You gotta make a choice, and it's a very difficult choice. Now, how we deal with it, you could take the side of the law and be like, well, they're breaking the law and they shouldn't be breaking the law. Or you could take the humanitarian side and be like, we should be trying to help our Caribbean brothers and sisters. But my problem is, if we try to help them, we already have a problem in Nassau with population, because Nassau has way too much people on a 7 by 21 island. I just gonna say that I think we can all agree that there's way too much people here. So to add more people here and then try to accommodate them at this point in time seems a little bit outside of the realm of possibility,
Yeah, because sometimes we just have to be a realist. Ideally, yes. If we had, well, we do have enough resources, but we don't even utilize our resources for our own people. There's family islands out abroad, out in our waters, that we haven't even extracted all of the benefits we could actually get from it. We just let it go to waste or sell it off to foreigners. So it's things like that that kind of bugs me, but then again, it's reality. And so when you think about situations like this, yes, that Lee is right. We do not have the accommodations. Just take a look at Nassau, well, the Bahamas during the pandemic when it first started. We didn't even have beds for ourselves. We had to source help from, well, we got help from other people. And so that alone tells you, hey, we don't have the resources here. We don't have the wherewithal to take in people like America could take in people. And so for that, I think they should give us a lie because we try our best to accommodate them while they're here and then get them back to their country safely. So I think that is our way of showing our humanitarian hearts because it's not like we send them back on those boats, those unsafe boats and stuff like that. And I think it's the public's purse that gets a little pinch out of whenever we have to send them back. So I think we need to take another approach. And it's been so long. Why haven't we come up with a result for this map? So it's a lot going on, just a lot.
I don't know why we can't find a solution to this problem, but I do always find it ironic when the United States is telling us that we have to be more humane with the treatment of them. And for them, they don't even send them Like, if you get caught, they don't send them back to their country of origin. They send them back to the country in which they're coming from. So they don't even, and they don't, and it's not even, I don't want to say it's not as safe, but they just kind of like, oh, you came from the Bahamas, you come in here legally by water and you're coming from the Bahamas, but you're not Bahamian. Well, you go back there, they can sort you out. So I don't know, it's always weird when other country when one of the main countries telling us how we should
Yeah,
carry on
it's
with them in a
hypocritical.
similar way, and in some cases worse.
Yeah, it's definitely hypocritical. And, I mean, I guess we will never be on par with a lot of things that the United States, they do. But I love the US, so however we keep our relationship good with them is good with me. But we also can't lose ourselves, and we can't forget our own people just to please another country. And if we have to do these things to make America happy, that's sort of them being bullies towards us. And so I hope that, there are some channels we could find to make this issue. It won't ever go away, but easier on the public purse, easier on the people coming to and from wherever they're coming from. Because it's not only Haitians, it's people all over the world being smuggled in our country, however they are being smuggled and however they are coming. So I just hope we find some resolve.
Yeah, I hope you find a resolve too. I feel like this isn't a problem that people want to be solved. In terms of when I say people, I mean people in power, because I mean we have a lot of issues in our country that we've been talking about for decades, but we can't seem to rectify them. So I feel as though that's kind of like similar to what we have with the issues with healthcare. It's kind of like a similar problem. We have issues with immigration. We have issues with healthcare. We know that it needs to be fixed, but we're not necessarily doing the most we can to fix it. But like I was saying, I'm glad that you guys mentioned America being hypocritical, and Bethany, I think Bethany said not to, it's not fair to please another country while basically giving away ours. So in wake of this tragedy, the Prime Minister revealed during a press conference, I think it was, that the international community has urged him to accept more immigrants. He told them that we are unable to do this because of our limited resources. And then he referenced the turmoil that was happening in Haiti and said that the global community is trying to find a solution, which in they decided to keep UN peacekeepers in Haiti. And I feel as though, like you guys are saying, with it being hypocritical, they're telling us to accept more immigrants. Yet they have a wall. They have issues with a lot of minorities. So it's kind of like you're telling us what to do, but you're not being the example of what you're telling me to do. You know what I'm saying? So I find that interesting.
Yeah, like if you look at the United States, for example, because the world, this is a very true thing. The United Nations has been constantly been telling us, like, hey, y'all should be more accepting of the people who try to migrate from their home, because and y'all should try to be more accommodating. But if you look at the United States, and this isn't the entirety of the United Nations, mind you, but if you look at the United States with the like with the whole their ICE unit that they have that separates immigrants from their children, that they there was a photo. I will never forget this. There was a photo that showed that they had just that the plane that had sent them back, that had sent illegal migrants back to Haiti. When they landed, the Haitians had to find their belongings amongst unmarked white rucksacks. All of them looked the same, and they were just like, well, good luck, find your things. We're gonna leave now. So them telling us in the same breath to be like, man, you gotta treat them a little better. It's like, don't treat migrants, especially illegal migrants. Y'all don't have the best track record with dealing with them. Like, y'all was riding horse and whipping them at one point. So who are you to tell me what to do when you can't even follow your own example?
Yeah, and to compound what Dudley is speaking about, they are telling us to accept migrants. However, when we legally bring people in our country to cover the exodus of our nurses, right? Most nurse, I know one of my friends, his wife is a nurse, and she is over there working for the United States, God bless her soul. You know, they living good over there, and I love that for them. But let's not pretend like America doesn't poach our nurses. Yes, they can provide them with more assets and monetary advances, stuff like that. And they know that. So, and I'm not saying that these nurses are going over there illegally. Very, very much legal. They have a good process. But when we do it and we bring in these foreigners to work for us, because now most of our nurses are in America doing their thing, they calling us out for they didn't say it, but it could have been, you know, it could have been alluded that, hey, these people are illegally here, blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you need to pick a side. Do you want us to bring in people? Do you want us to help less fortunate countries? Like, what's going on here?
It could be mine.
So it's like they have a double tongue.
Yeah.
When it comes to who comes into the country, why they come into the country.
You want to know, Bethany, I could solve this problem for you. I could solve this problem for you very easily. So Bahamian nurses have some of the best reputations around the world. People around the world try to get Bahamian nurses. It's not just America. The main reason why they have a problem with us bringing in nurses is because 9 times out of 10, we bring our nurses from, guess where? Cuba. And guess who doesn't have the best relationship with America right now? Cuba. So, you know, it's kind of like, hey, we understand. We're taking the people from you. But the people that you're replacing your people with, we don't really like them, buddy. You think you could do something about that?
I don't understand. While I understand that, the people aren't the government. What I do does not reflect my government. Most of those Cubans, they don't even agree with some of the stuff that goes on in their country. So why make a burden for these people who are just trying to better their lives? Like, America is supposed to be the land of the free, the land of the brave, the land of the, you know, I love America.
Well, they show you every day that that's not necessarily true for all.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, don't start targeting individuals trying to better their lives. Especially trying to better their lives legally. That does not make any sense to me.
They're not targeting the individuals. They're targeting a nation. That's the thing. They're targeting a group of people that they've historically said, like, these are our enemies. Why are you helping? Why are you making it better for our enemies? And even so, like, there was an American account on Twitter that went so far as to bring up the time that we had a quarrel with Cuba and they destroyed one of our Defense Force boats. And I was like, this is probably the only thing that you know about the Bahamas. So specifically, because that's just a random fact that a person with an American flag and Army veteran in their Twitter bio would just know, you know? Like, it's something, I don't know. They just, it's very weird. Tensions are high, but we try to play nice with both sides, you know? It's like when, it's like when Russia said that that they put us on some list of people that do them wrong. And then the Bahamas released a statement saying, we've never done, oh yes, they put us on a list of unfriendly nations. And then the Bahamas felt the need to clarify, we've never done anything unfriendly to Russia. And it's like, yes, you have. We're best friends with their biggest enemy. That's very much so an unfriendly thing to them. The people that just put a bunch of sanctions on them, like put sanctions on them, put their whole economy in disarray. That's one of your best friends. And you're trying to tell me that, oh, you ain't doing me nothing. You talk, your best friend is my enemy, baby.
I swear these leaders, these international leaders, they literally carry on like a bunch of children. Like children on a big field. Oh, you his friend? Well, you can't be my friend. Oh, yeah. Like, grow up. There's more to life than just somebody not agreeing with something that you do or didn't do or who you with or not with. Like, oh my, I mean, I know it's, I don't think it's ever going to get better, but it could get a little good. Can we do that? Just that? For the sake of humanity?
Yeah, but like you guys are saying, I think Bethany mentioned that they did suggest that our nurse, Cuban nurses who were hired, may have been victims of human trafficking. And I found that very interesting. And the U.S. also said in its latest trafficking in persons report that the Bahamas fully meets the minimum standards for the elimination of trafficking. However, the report suggested that much more can still be done. It said that individuals lured for employment are among those who have been trafficking victims or are particularly vulnerable to trafficking. So, Prime Minister, the Honorable Brave Davis, well, Philip Brave Davis, said, insofar as the report is concerned that Bahamians, it's laughable to me because they're speaking about the Cuban nurses that we recruited, which is hilarious because you're implying that these people were trafficked. However, we actively sought them out. So, like you guys are saying, it's like we are acting like children going back and forth about this. So the government is working to secure the monkeypox vaccine. So,
Have you seen the requirements in America for getting the monkeypox vaccine?
What's the requirement?
So you have to be a male. You have to be a man. You have to also go on to confirm that you've had sexual intercourse within the last 14 days. Then you apply for receiving the vaccine. It's like, man, they are targeting the gay man, yeah, relentlessly. And you know what? And you know what's weird about it? We have the perfect example of what happens when you make a specific disease target gay people, and that's called AIDS. So now that we've come to a point now where we realize that anybody could catch AIDS. And it's funny that they're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, because the Minister of Health, Dr. Michael Dobell, said that the homosexual community remains at a high risk. Now, he didn't say, nowhere in this article am I seeing why people who are homosexual are at higher risk. I don't quite understand that. And I don't know if anybody else noticed, but the World Health Organization has declared the monkeypox outbreak international, like what they did with COVID, basically. And like that, they said, you're doing we've already been through this. It's like the world is moving backwards. I truly do not understand. Like, do we not learn from our mistakes? We're literally repeating history, and for what? I don't understand.
No, we don't learn. No, we don't learn because people don't know. Because people don't know or don't. They see, they can get away with this stuff because they know that enough people haven't paid attention that they can just say the same thing. And especially now, because it's just like, man, the gay people are trying to take your rights away somehow. They're trying to, they want to get married in your country and they want to do this, that, and the next and whatever, all these things that we as a quote-unquote Christian nation disagree with on some level that doesn't matter. And then they turn around and say, yeah, monkeypox? Yeah, if you gay? Like, if you're a gay man, if you're a homosexual man, yeah, you guys are the ones that are spreading the monkeypox virus, which just, with, you know, it's a contact virus, which means that, you know, you guys are doing it through gay sex. And it's like, I didn't know contact was only sexual, but okay.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what people decide to do with their life has not, does not come before you. And it's just like, leave the people alone. That's how I see it. If you don't like it, too bad. You don't have to do it. You don't have to. You don't. Nobody's forcing you to like man or like woman. Nobody's forcing you to do that. So what someone else likes, that don't come before you. That's just how I look. So all this foolishness, I feel it's just, I feel like it's kind of, well, I don't say kind of. It is an attack on a specific group of people. And that's unfair. Because if it was the other way around, we would be in uproar. We would be upset, doing all type of things. But I bet you the minute someone speaks or says something against it, is, oh, you supporting this, blah, 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 blah. And you know how behavior people go. So it's just like, y'all, come on, let's actually think about this.
This argument falls apart.
Yeah, like y'all was saying, I think the way they're going about bringing monkeypox in, you know, in the media throughout the world, it's like they need to pay better attention to their language and the terms they use and how they say certain things, because it's so confusing. Like, are you guys saying that only homosexuals can catch this? Only men who are homosexuals can catch this? Because this is literally the confusion that happened the start of COVID, just to bounce on something recent. So I think the next time it's brought up in the media, more needs to be said, more needs to be discussed, more needs to be analyzed, and it needs to be better approached, especially because you could start to kind of marginalize a certain group of behemoths and start a division that doesn't necessarily need to be in the first place. Because I could see this becoming a problem when it comes to, you know, people who aren't accepting of that lifestyle, making it a bigger deal for those people who are participating in that lifestyle. So I think they did a poor job in introducing it to the public, and they need to backtrack and come with a better way of discussing and describing what exactly the monkeypox is and how do you catch it. Because I don't understand what they were saying. Like, because especially for me, I'm like, okay, if you're telling me only homosexual men can catch this, then I won't have my guard up as much as I should if everyone could catch it, but they were only focusing on a certain group. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like they need to come with it and at a scientific standpoint, and not just only homosexuals can catch this. Because trust me, if someone who isn't a homosexual catch it, they are going to be very pissed because they were misinformed.
Bethany, you gotta understand. I could break this down for you very simply. So they're saying that homosexual men are the most likely people to get the virus, right? So them claiming that breaks apart from the first woman that caught monkeypox and how it spreads. It's a pox. It spreads kind of like how chickenpox spreads. It spreads in the exact same way. So touching people, apparently you could, you know, hugging people, it's sexual contact, of course, but touching people, hugging people, the same way chickenpox used to spread in a classroom of children way back in the day. Is the same way that monkeypox spreads, with the added benefit of it could apparently also spread if you cough on someone or sneeze on them.
Yeah, I think the whole way that they're going about trying to educate people and talk about the monkeypox is kind of like, it's weird, it's radical, and y'all just need to do better. But in more depressing news, the IMF says that inflation will remain stubbornly high And they don't think that normal levels will return until at least 2024. And they said that they think that it's uncertain and it's gloomy and that several factors can cause it to maintain the momentum and raise for longer term expectations. So all of this, as you know, is as a result of the coronavirus and the war.
I think in order for us to actually do better financially, we have to know the facts. You know, we can't dance around or be oblivious to the financial affairs of the country. So with this information, we just need to take it and run with it, make the best financial decisions. But we just need to make good decisions on behalf of our country. We need to see investments, interests, all of that good stuff. So for me, while it may be a bummer, while it may not be the best information we got, at least it's something we can work on. At least it's something that we won't be oblivious to. And yeah, I mean, as far as I could see, it looks like we're progressing somewhat. You know, people are getting jobs again. People are, money is flowing back in the country a bit. So little by little, I mean, 2024, that's what they're saying. Who knows? We may surprise ourselves and come back in 2023. But the point is, regardless of their projections, we have to make certain goals for ourselves as a country and stick to it. Don't spend foolishly and just make the most of what the good Lord gave us. That's just my opinion. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I feel like, unfortunately, there's nothing we really could do. Like, as consumers, we really can't do anything about what people price their stuff as. Certain things you just need in terms of people who have vehicles, you need gas. You need electricity in your house. You need water. You need food. Those type of things, you can't necessarily be like, okay, I'm just going to not buy this because it costs too much, you know? So unfortunately, it affects us all, and there's not really anything we can do about it. But like me, if something costs too much that I normally, that before inflation, that I enjoy doing, I had to cut back on it because ain't no way I spending 2-3 times more than on that, you know? And hopefully it does actually go back down, but I feel like it's nothing we could do.
I mean,
as a relatively cheap man, or the nice word that they try to use is frugal, but as a cheap man, I tend to go by the one quote that I heard that somebody attributed to Jay-Z. I doubt he was the first person to say it. But if I can't afford something twice, I ain't daring it.
That's the jam.
So if I can't afford, you know, the only exception might be food. Sometimes, you know, your bellies get hungry quick. So, and I live big, so, you know, I gotta eat. But that aside, if it's a frivolous activity, like if it's something extracurricular, a party, you know, sometimes, you know, I have to give up on my day life because restaurant food is expensive. But, you know,
hey, Natalie, don't blame it on restaurants. Blame it on laziness, because you don't have to go to a restaurant. You could have been creative.
But going to a restaurant is like the perfect first date. You get to find out so much about people at
I had a lot of humans that carry girls to the beach first. So if you want to really find out,
No. You carry a girl to the beach first so that you can see how she looks. That's all. That's all that's about. Let's stick to the let's get to know the character. Let's not just focus on the body. The body coming. We just want to look at the character first. That's why you take them somewhere. You take them to see. This is why the classic date structure is always: you go to a movie and then you go to dinner. This is the classic. This is the reason why this is a movie trope. It works. Trust me.
I just hearing a bunch of excuses, Dudley, but go on.
You can have a lot of excuses for real, because I like to go to Fusion VIP when I take somebody out on a date. You know how expensive that is? You think I'm trying to get you somewhere cheap? Anyway, I ain't even gonna tell you where I steak it for dinner, because that's another conversation for another day. Point is, things a little expensive.
I am so done with you.
Well, I know we've been very charismatic so far throughout this episode, but I don't think we could end this episode without bringing up the little boy who was murdered. His name was Kenton Seymour Jr. And I gotta say, the crime in this country is outrageous. It's really uncalled for. I know the Prime Minister was given some title in reference to the situation in Haiti, where he is in charge of finding a resolve for all the tension and stuff between the gangs over there. And I don't want to be disrespectful, and I say this in the most respectful way possible, but why are you dipping your hands in another country's issues when we ourselves are facing, I would say, hell? Because almost every week, there would be a killing, and like, we need to focus on what's going on here. We have little children, little children dying, and I don't know about y'all, but I just feel as though his attention need not be on any other country except ours, because that little boy and all the other people before him, like, there is no need for all of this criminal activity.
So I do feel as though he has a responsibility to look on what's going on in this country. I think we have several problems. Inflation is one of them. Crime is another one. But crime is a universal problem. No government really has the solution. The Prime Minister, I saw there was a joke up there that said that Chester Cooper, the Honorable Chester Cooper, has faced a lot of challenges in his time as Prime Minister, because for whatever reason at all, it seems as though he's acting Prime Minister a lot. And we need, whether you like him or not, we need at times like this, when we realize that children are dying because of whatever we're doing isn't working, that's when you need the actual leader of the country to come in and be there, like, hold on. Let me get the reins on what's going on back home before I try to re-enter the global arena, because whatever's happening here isn't really working out. You feel me?
Yeah, because I'm like, how in the world are you going to find a solution for another country when your country is in turmoil itself? Like, I don't understand. And furthermore, the UN, do they not check our crime rates? Like, they should have been like, you know what, Bahamian people, Bahamian government, y'all could sit this one out, because it looked like, y'all have y'all hands full. So I don't even understand why they chose us to head that initiative. So I'm very confused.
I think we had a very insightful conversation today. We talked about a lot of things that have been going on in the country. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Candid. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Candid242. Keep it real, Bahamas.